fields are white, the labors are few, so much work for you and me to do. No time to be lax or be unwise, His coming is at hand. Father, open up our eyes. Heavenly Father, send me and I'll go. Your word is the seed that I must sow. People searching for truth in a world so confused, grant me the power to point them to you. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go. Jesus glorified God with every breath. He was obedient even unto death. The highest calling for a Christian friend is to lay down our lives and glorify Him. Heavenly Father, send me and I'll go. Your word is the seed that I must sow. People searching for truth in a world so confused, grant me the power to point them to you. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest if you yield Him your body and soul. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go.
Man, thank you, Brother Combs and Mrs. Combs. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We want to finish the message we started a couple of weeks ago. And we'll finish it tonight without any difficulty, hopefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you remember, the title of our message is God's Building Plan. And we're talking about the building of two things. We're talking about, first of all, the building of what? A church. He says in his introductory remarks in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So he's writing this to the church. And verse number 1 of chapter 3, he's speaking to the members who make up the church, even though they were carnal Christians, worldly Christians, self-centered Christians, baby Christians, babes in Christ, he's writing to them. So stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we'll pick up our reading in verse number 1. The second thing he's talking about here in this building plan is not just the building of a church, but the building of a what? Life. That's correct. Talking about your life and my life as Christians in the church. By the way, I do not believe it is the will of God for Christians to live their life outside of the local church. You say, well, what about these people overseas or in these villages where there's no missionary, there is no church? It's God's will that missions not just go and get people saved, but to establish churches and get those we win to Christ into the church through believers' baptism and get them trained up so they can build a life and help build a church that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. He's talking about Christians. He said, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual Christians or spiritual individuals, or even as a spiritual church. But I had to speak unto you as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, I'd like to have said, now the Bible says, God says, but I couldn't do that. I had to say, here, baby, would you like some milk? Let me start back at the beginning again. How many times have you had to start back at the beginning? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we'd grow in grace, grow in understanding of the Word of God? You know, so many times we look at the Word of God only about the benefits I get from it instead of how the Bible helps me to be what I ought to be. And if we will be what we ought to be, we won't have to worry about blessings. God will see that we're blessed. He says, I've fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were unable or not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. He said, instead of coming to you with a big ribeye steak and all the trimmings, I've had to warm up a bottle, put a nipple on it. There's a lot of benefits from being grown up, mature. There's a lot of benefits from being mature in Christ Jesus, too. He said, you are not able to bear it, for ye are carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Said, you don't walk as Christ, you walk like men, the men of the world. Are you not, he said, there is among you envying and strife and division. Hey, does it sound like your Sunday school class? How about your family? We are as a church what you are in your family. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, the soul winner is not anything, nor he that watereth, the preacher is not anything, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're ministers, we're servants. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we're laborers together with God, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building, and we dealt with that last week. Don't you get off and say that preacher said soul winning doesn't mean anything. That's not what the Bible's teaching. We put too much emphasis on us and not enough on God. The soul winner is an instrument. He's a voice. The preacher is a minister, a servant, a voice. I can save no one. The soul winner can save no one. The pastor can save no one. It's all about God. He needs to get the glory. What could be done in Trinity Baptist Church if we were committed to do it only for the glory of God? Now he that planteth, and let me get on down verse 10. Let me read verse 9 again. For we're laborers together with God, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building, according to the grace of God which he giveth unto me, as unto a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth their own. But let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You ought to underline that statement, of what sort it is. Of what sort is your work? What's the motive behind it? Who are you doing it for? Why are you doing it? Of what is it scriptural? Is it faithful? Of what sort it is, if any man's work abide, which he shall build thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple is holy, which temple ye are. Heavenly Father, help us to learn something about building a church and my life, our lives, that they might glorify you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to realize that we're not doing it just for our glory. We're doing it for you. You're our motive. You're our reason. Help us to learn that. Help us to keep you preeminent in all things. If we'd keep you preeminent in our soul winning, we'd be a lot more faithful to soul win, be soul winners. If we would be preeminent, keep you preeminent in our teaching, we'd be a lot more faithful and fervent in our Sunday school class building. Help us, Lord Jesus, to learn and grow and mature and be concerned about our building and what sort it is. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last week we talked to you about the building of a church. And we told you last week that the church, if it's a true church, is built by more than one person. If anybody thinks the preacher builds a church, he's nuts. Christ builds the church and he uses more than one person in that congregation to bring about the building material and teach and train and put together the workforce for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joint effort. I've learned a long time ago that if I do it all, then I can handle 50, 60, 75. But if we're going to build beyond that, it's going to take a lot of people working together, working in harmony, working for the right person, for the right purpose. And I told someone today, if we could get this situation where we'd do this without taking credit and wanting the glory, no telling what we could do for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about a particular ministry. But be sure that it takes more than one person. Then I told you last week also that building a church requires hard work and time. I look out here at some families, and you've got young men, young ladies now that are out of high school and going to college, and I've been here long enough that I had the privilege of seeing them born. I had the privilege of praying over them, seeing them baptized, saved and baptized. You don't get those privileges. I got a letter today from a young lady who was a member of this church, and the family's moved off, and the young lady's telling me, thank you for loving me and encouraging me, and I love you, and I love what you've given to me in my life. You don't get that by staying 2 years. You're going to have to invest time. To build a church, it takes a lot of people working together with God, for God, according to God's Word. And it takes a lot of time and hard work. A lot of time. And most people, from the preachers today to the Sunday school class members and deacons, are not willing to spend the hard work and the time. The dirty four-letter word of the Christian era is work, W-O-R-K. We don't want to do it. We don't mind somebody else to do it. And we don't mind having a part in an advisory capacity. But I don't want to have to roll up my sleeves and get in. Let somebody else do it. It takes a lot of time and a lot of hard work, and God help us to get to that place where we're willing to do the hard work and spend the time. Some of you have been here long enough at Trinity Baptist to remember when, if we had 300 in Sunday school, we had a big day. Some of you have been here long enough to remember, you look back and said, man, I remember when we had 600. And now then, oh my goodness, we had 600 on a Sunday morning, I'd go home with a heart attack. God's been good to us, folks. But it's taken a long time and a lot of hard work. I walk through our buildings and I think about all the hard work that people put into building these buildings, remodeling these buildings. I can tell the ones that did. They see something on the floor, they'll pick it up. They'll see a mark on the wall, they'll try to rub it off. Those of you that are just using it, you make the marks. You throw the things on the floor, it doesn't mean that much to you. If you'd get in and spend some time and serve and invest some of your life in the Lord's work and His church would take on a different perspective to you. To build a church takes a lot of time and a lot of hard work by a lot of people. But let me get to the message now for tonight. The Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthians, not just about the building of a church. The entire book of Corinthians is dealing with the building of a church correctly, not only in its foundation, but its doctrine and practices, but it's also talking to the members of the church about building their own individual lives. And this church is no stronger than your Christian life you're building. If a chain is no stronger than its weakest length. You can have 500 links that could tow 3,000 pounds. And you have one link that could tow 100 pounds. Then that church is no stronger than that weakest length. May I say to you that you as a member of this church either strengthen the church or weaken the church because of the life you live and the life you're building. God does not want us to stay as we are. Some of you came here and you've grown up to a level and now then you're satisfied. You want to level off, and if I can just stay right here, I'm satisfied. But that's not the plan of God. God's plan is that we become more and more and more like Jesus. That means we've got a lot of growing to do and a lot of learning to do in our Christian life. God's plan is that we never stop learning or growing in our Christian life. Now, Paul is speaking about individuals building the right kind of life as Christians and doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you as a Christian tonight, most of what you do you do with Jesus in mind or you in mind? Well, I do it for me. There's the problem, because in all things, Christ is to have the preeminent. If you're living your life and making your choices for you first, then Jesus is not first. You're first. And He would say to you, like He said to the church at Corinth, I have somewhat against you because you have left. You've forsaken. You've turned your back on your first love. He didn't say you lost your first love. You misplaced. You left it for you. And so He's talking about our building the right kind of life. And if we're going to build the right kind of life, may I say first of all that we must build our life on the right foundation with the proper guide for our building. Now the foundation is Jesus Christ. And He is also the guide. You see, Jesus is the foundation, but He's also the chief cornerstone. He is the living Word. He's also the revealed Word. This book is about Jesus. You can't read this book and not know Him and get to know Him. It's about Jesus. And He is the guide for our life. He's our foundation. We build upon Him, His principles, His doctrines, His teaching. We build upon His life, His death, His resurrection. We build upon His precepts, His statutes, His teaching, His doctrine. We build upon Christ. He's our foundation stone. Jesus alone is that foundation. Jesus alone is the sure guide for our life. The living Word, Jesus, does not believe and teach anything that He's not recorded in His written Word. They go together. You can't know the living Word without knowing Him in the written Word. The more you know about Him, the more you're going to know about this book. Because I don't learn about Jesus from the pecan tree or the peach tree. I don't even learn about Jesus from the dogwood tree that's got the fable connected to it with the cross. I learn about Jesus from the book. I don't learn about Jesus from Hollywood or Mel Gibson. I learn about Jesus from the Word, the Bible. He is our sure foundation. He is our guide. How much of your life are you doing and building because that's what He teaches us to do? That's His will for our life. He's our sure guide for building of our life. Ephesians 2 verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Listen, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, what's a cornerstone? A cornerstone is the stone that lies at the corner of two walls. And the cornerstone unites the two walls. Only when we're built upon Christ can two different nationalities or multiple nationalities and multiple ethnic groups unite together and worship together and make up a church together. Fightings all over this world because of ethnic groups. Blacks against whites. Arabs against Jew. This group against that group. Then how in the world, if there's so many different and diverse groups, can we all be a part of a local New Testament church and love one another and serve God? Because we're not built upon ourselves. We're built upon Christ as our foundation, and He is the cornerstone that ties our lives together. We don't major on the ethnic groups. We major on Christ and His principles and His teachings. Let me make something a little more realistic to some of you. How can a man and a woman that are so different live together as one? If you've not noticed, men and women are different. A lot different. Not just in their body design, but in their spirit. A woman thinks differently than a man. This morning, I got in with the men, got in bed at 2:30. Now, if my wife had gotten in at 2:30, I would have said to her, honey, what time would you like to get up tomorrow? But this morning, she came in and said, Bob, what time do you want to get up? I thought, right now, because I can't go back to sleep now. We're different. Now that difference is not all bad. We're different. I mean, here's a man, he's macho and he's tough and he likes to do this. He don't mind getting dirty and he doesn't mind sticking his hand in the belly of a deer he's killed and pulling out all the intestines. And But some of you women are about to pass out with me just trying to barely describe it. I haven't even come close to describing it. We're different. I mean, you don't want to eat it after it's been cooked in on the stove because you see that little old deer. We're different. And yet it is the plan of God that this man who thinks on one side of his brain and a woman who thinks on the opposite side of her brain, a man who likes the rough, tough, tumble stuff and the woman who is dainty and sweet. How in the world can they live together as one and in harmony and unity? We're built on the foundation, Jesus Christ, and He is the cornerstone that ties our lives together. So if we're going to build a life, we've got to build on Jesus Christ, and we've got to build with Him as the chief cornerstone. That is, His teaching, His word, His precepts makes it possible that a big old ornery, husky, gruff, short-tempered man can live in harmony with a sweet-smelling, tender, pretty, frilly woman. Jesus makes that possible. He not only makes it possible, He makes it good and possible. Good and possible, but only in Christ. I guarantee you, if you don't build your life on Christ and you don't use Him, build according to His guide and His teaching, using Him as your chief cornerstone, you'll be like Britney Spears and Elizabeth Taylor and Jolene and Mojo and whatchamacallit. You just go from one to the other because you didn't get your way here. You call it quits. You don't have a guide for your life except you and your feelings and what you want. He's talking about the building of a life. And you better understand, even in our building of a life and a marriage and a home, it's going to be tried by fire to see what sort it is. Every time I read this passage, I think of the story of the three little pigs. And I promise you, the old devil's going to huff and puff to blow your house in and blow your life in. Some of you are going to crumble because you're not built on the right foundation and you've not built using Jesus as your chief cornerstone, your guide. It's Christ alone that makes our lives work properly in this diverse world when we're so different from everybody else. And you are different from everybody else. We're always saying, well, she's like so-and-so or he's like so-and-so. No, you're not a copy of somebody else. You're an original. You're an original. And only when we're built upon Christ and He ties our lives together is our harmony and happiness. Building our life on the right foundation with Christ as our cornerstone produces a proper personal testimony. Look at verse 13, 14, and 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to come to light one of these days. When I see that made manifest, I think about being projected upon a screen. Everybody's going to see. Everybody's going to know the truth about how you built your life. You built your family. About you. Your building process. It's going to be made manifest, for the day, the judgment day, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You may fool this person or that person, but you're not going to fool Jesus. He's going to find out. He knows the fire is going to make it manifest to everybody what sort of a life and what sort of a Christian and what sort of a church member and what sort of a husband or wife or what sort of a parent you have become. The Christian's testimony is not determined by what we say, but what we do. By our works. Look at verse 14 and 15. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved so as by fire. Now remember, he's not talking about a lost man standing here. He's talking about a saved man that's not going to lose his salvation. He's not going to lose his life. He's not going to lose the gift of God and heaven. He's going to lose rewards because of the life he's built. And it'll be revealed by his works. A Christian is known by the fruit he bears and the light he reflects. Have you ever checked your fruit? I have a sermon I preached one, let your fruit do your talking. Don't tell everybody what a great Christian you are. Let's see your fruit. And we're not only known by the fruit we bear, but by the light we reflect. Now I can look up here at these lights, and whether or not you know it, we've got three different kinds of lights up here. We've got incandescent lights that are just little spotlights, can lights. We've got the big square lights, and in the big square lights, there's two different kinds of light. One is a mercury vapor light. If you look at them, it's kind of like looking at the sun. You can't see. So it's a mercury vapor. That's a mercury vapor light. That's a mercury vapor. That light that wasn't supposed to be put in right over there. That's a metal halite light. They all give light. But I can tell by the light they reflect what kind of light they are. Now, they look alike, don't they? But I can tell by the kind of light they reflect, whether metal halide or incandescent, just the can lights or mercury vapor. May I say to you that the world can tell what kind of Christian you are by the light you reflect. I wonder what name the unsaved world has for you as a Christian. Carnal, baby, spiritual. Well, let me get on. That went over good. The life we build results in the great rewards or the great loss. That when our life that comes to pass when our life is tried by the Master at the judgment seat of Christ. This chapter warns us against wasting our life. Too many will realize that they've wasted their lives when it's too late to change. When you stand at the judgment seat, it's too late. It would be good in this church service if we'd take a look at our life and how we're building it and make the necessary changes so when tried by His fire at the judgment seat and it is revealed as to what sort it is, it might shine as precious jewels, gold or silver. Instead of being burnt up because it was built as wood, hay, or stubble. Not for Him. Not according to His guidelines. Not with Him as the foundation. Not with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. What kind of life are you building? What kind of church are we building? May God help us to realize it doesn't end here. We've still got to stand before Him and give an account of what sort it is. May God help us to do our best for Him to keep Him as the preeminent one, to make Him the foundation. We believe what we believe and practice what we practice because He teaches it. The Word of God is our guide. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Dear God, I think some men enter into marriage only because they want to tell their wives every day they're the boss. There's more to marriage than that, folks. If we'd spend our time loving our wives and being what we ought to be as a provider and a comforter and a spiritual head, they won't have any trouble following us. God made them that way. There's something more to life than just getting the glory. It's far better when we live to give Him the glory. When we build a church, not so we can be recognized by others as a big church or a big preacher, but we do it for Him. And if we do our best and we run 1,000 or 5,000, or if our best is 200, we do it for His glory. We have nothing to be ashamed of or afraid of when we stand before Him. But if it's about me and for me, if it's just about you and for you, it's not going to be a happy day when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, because the fire is going to reveal what sort of a church member you were, what sort of a church builder you were, and what sort of a life builder you were. And it's either going to end up in a pile of ashes, or it's going to end up shining in greater brilliance and beauty and value than you've ever dreamed. But it's going to be determined by your building plan. How are you building? How are you building? According to His plan? For His glory? Or for you? Father, thank You for the simple story here and all the important